Steve, thanks so much. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. 312-981-7200. Obviously, the phone number and the text line. Just really quickly, yesterday there was a lot that we had promoted that was going to be part of our show yesterday. And then right as we were going to press yesterday, right as we were going to air, right as the puck was dropping, we got some crazy news about Jussie Smollett. And I say crazy because it was crazy.
I'll say the world.
Yes.
Oh, God. Really?
That's Steve's catchphrase that we're still trying.
You were talking about my catchphrase, and it got preempted.
Yes. Okay. Catchphrase talk is being rescheduled. We're looking at November 6th.
Bertrand, you're totally exonerated from your catchphrase.
Thank you very much.
And this will be the first exoneration that holds true this week. Every other exoneration hasn't really held true.
You can't just throw around, "I'm completely exonerated," to people.
Right. Well,
you can't.
No, you shouldn't.
If it's not true...
Here's what I keep thinking, and Steve and I had a discussion about this very early this morning. I called him at 3:30 in the morning. I said, "Steve, let's have a sit down and talk about this."
Luckily, it was one of the times I was up.
Yeah, he was up, up and down all night long. All right, so there's a certain amount of money that's being paid by Jussie Smollett. It's $10,000, right? So how do they figure out, with all the man hours that have gone into this investigation, that $10,000 should just about cover it?
I don't think they think that. That was just his bond that he said, you know what, keep it.
But it's got to be such a small, small fraction
Absolutely.
Of the amount of money that it cost to work on this case.
Yeah,
right?
It's nowhere near the manpower
hours. They were already holding that money. That was what he posted for bond. So they probably, I don't think they made the argument that that covered the cost.
Right.
And that's a cost that is incurred whether or not, and not just in the Jussie Smollett case, but in any case, whether or not the defendant is guilty or innocent, that's just money. You're out.
No, you get that money back.
If you're innocent, you get it back?
If you're acquitted, you know, that's just money you put up to guarantee that you're going to show up for your court hearing. So if you show up for your court hearing, probably even if you're guilty.
Yeah, you get it back, and then you get the fines, and then
right.
you pay out of pocket. But that's just kind of like, you know, how you have to give your license when you get a ticket, so
right.
you show up in court, so you get your license back. That's used as a bond card, correct?
Think of the word. It's your bond that you'll be there. It's my word that I'll be there. It's my bond that I'll pay the loan back. It's my bond that I'll show up for my court hearing.
Okay. That makes sense. I guess if any part of this case makes sense, I guess that's the part that makes sense, I guess.
What doesn't make sense to me is the people saying, you know what, we're not saying that he's innocent of this.
Yes.
He's not exonerated, but we're dropping the charges. Does that happen typically?
It does happen often in a case of nonviolent cases, someone with no history.
But there was potential violence involved, right?
It was faux violence. So I don't think it was real violence. But this is a case either of an inexperienced prosecutor or a bad communication strategy, because what the state's attorney did yesterday was not alert the media that this was happening. We learned of it from the Smollett case and Smollett side and Ann Kavanaugh, the spokeswoman. We then got a description of what happened from Smollett's team, Ann Kavanaugh again, and never from the prosecutors. Then we heard from Smollett's lawyer and Smollett, and all we heard all morning long was, we've been exonerated, we've been cleared. What should have happened was the state's attorney's office should have first put out a statement saying there is a hearing coming up in a half an hour in Cook County Court.
Yeah.
We are going to move that the case be dropped in exchange for $10,000 and community service, because here's why. We drop thousands of these cases a year, or a couple thousand a year, because it was a nonviolent case and he was not a repeat offender. This will allow us to focus our resources on other violent crimes. Had they come out with a statement like that,
it would have changed everything.
Well, it would have changed most things. I think people still would have been pretty angry, but it certainly would have more clearly established what was happening, given the prosecutor's rationale for what happened. It wasn't until afternoon that we sort of understood their viewpoint
on
this.
Yeah, they kept that kind of quiet.
Steve, in a normal timeline, this one, of course, the exact opposite of a normal timeline, but who gets which call when? Does it go to the media? Does it go to the Chicago Police Department? Does it go to the mayor's office? How does it usually play out?
Well, I mean, those are two completely separate things. One is getting your message out through the media, but the other is, you know, is sort of political goodwill.
You work together.
In calling the police, you mean?
Yeah, the state's attorney is an independently elected office, and you know they as I said yesterday, they work with the police department, but there's friction there too. Neither should control the other. But it seems like there should have been a courtesy call here, particularly in this case, particularly the way the superintendent characterized Smollett
right.
when he announced the charges.
Because Eddie Johnson and our mayor looked blindsided.
Well, they didn't look blindsided.
They were blindsided.
They were absolutely blindsided, and they said that.
Yeah.
And that's a really bad political move on Kim Fox's part.
And you mentioned, you know, in half of me says it is nonviolent. It's had it not been blown up so big, I could see them saying, you know, no harm, no foul. He did this, but no one got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there are cases like this that nonviolence, they do get dropped. We just don't hear about them because they're not in the spotlight.
If a woman walking down the street, or let's say a guy walking down the street, called the police and said he was beaten and it turned out he made it up, he wouldn't necessarily or probably typically be going to jail at all, certainly not for 20 years.
There was that student, I think she said she was, or a Columbia student, she was walking at the lakefront and said she encountered and had something happen to her, and then she said, you know what, I made that up.
Mm-hmm. And I don't
that
know
was it.
I don't know if they charged her or not. I don't remember that they did.
But she certainly wouldn't go to jail for that.
Right.
And so this is different in the just because of the fantasticality of it, you know, how big it was, but in the end it was a, you know, it was a particular crime with a guy with no history.
So what do you think happens next?
What happens to Kim Fox? That's what I want to know.
That's part of the question. Where does she go from here? Where does everybody go from here?
You know, she had recused herself from the case. I think that
originally,
she needs to come clear, be perfectly clear about why she recused herself, and then even though she didn't make the decision, apparently it was her office, and you know, as Rose said, she still has to come forward and explain this. And she, you know, she could make a perfectly fine argument, but she needs to make it.
That's Are we expecting point. That anytime soon?
Let me check the foxhole.
See what they say.
Yeah.
All right. All right. What a strange, strange day it was yesterday as all this was happening, and we're all just looking at each other going, wait, what? How is this happening? Very confusing. We'll take a break. We've got all kinds of things planned for you. Stick around. Spill Left. It's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN.
They're my new favorite couple. I watch them every night.
Yeah. Very, very good. Aren't they? All right. So we're kind of recapping some events that took place yesterday. That's the Jesse Smollett case. A lot of the texts, Wendy, as you would imagine, not happy with Kim Fox. Kim Fox is from 708. Kim Fox needs to step down. She may have recused herself, but this is still her responsibility. She's a paid elected official, and she needs to address her taxpayers. What a piece of work she is. Several texters saying essentially the same thing.
And I was curious as to when she was voted in, and it was 2016, March of 2016.
Mm. 3 years in office. I'm a little confused. Steve, maybe you can help with this. Wendy and I were discussing this during the commercial break about if you're recused, you're still ultimately, even though you're recusing yourself, you're still ultimately responsible for the outcome. How does that play out?
He's not listening.
I'm sorry, Bill. What was the question?
If you're Kim Fox and you do recuse yourself, you're still ultimately responsible for the outcome. So,
where
is the line when you recuse yourself in something?
Well, it's a good question, because if you recuse yourself, you are supposed, I mean, look at Jeff Sessions. You're supposed to be absolutely separated from it. So she should have had, by recusing herself, absolutely nothing to do with the decision yesterday. So she's, you know, not technically responsible for that. Having said that, it did happen under her office.
Yeah.
So there has to be, you know, while she might not be responsible and have to give an explanation of here's what we were thinking, she does have to talk about the fact that her staff, her office, made this decision. And she, you know, it's a good question. I don't know if she has to defend it, but she certainly has to explain it in one way or another.
May I ask what I think is a good question? Why are we not hearing from the Asundero brothers? They have been...
It's a very good question. Where are they?
Completely silent. After Jesse was cleared by the state's attorney, this according to TMZ, the lawyer for Abel and Ola urged them to make a public statement standing by their claim that Jesse faked the attack. And TMZ is reporting they They refused, and ultimately their lawyer, Gloria Schmidt, bailed on them, saying she didn't want to rep them anymore. So isn't it kind of
they're
peculiar?
Major factors.
Yeah, and we haven't heard anything from them.
Steve, any idea? Because I don't know.
Well, why would they need to say anything? I don't, you know, the prosecutors have said, look, we still think he did it. He's not been exonerated. This was an agreement to end the case. You know, they've made their point. I think I would go away from if I were them as well.
But they're an important part of this.
Yeah,
that
a huge
They've played their role. They've appeared before a grand jury. The charges came forward. The case went to court. And it was adjudicated in a really weird way, but they're not responsible for that. No one, the prosecutors aren't saying, or the police aren't saying that their story isn't true.
Nobody's saying anything now. I'm just so right. puzzled. And will Jussie continue training with them? That's what I want to know.
I'm going to say probably
not. Awkward, slightly awkward. Well, I
although
asked yesterday,
he does pay well for the training.
$3,500.
Right. Why don't you train him, Bertrand? I'll say the world.
I asked yesterday, Steve, I don't think you were around, has that check been cashed? Is that in their bank account at this point? And why do they have a joint bank account? They're grown men. This is ridiculous. Get separate accounts, fellas.
I would assume it was cashed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
That's not a question I was anticipating today, but
that's the question that's burning in my head, Steve. I want that $3,500 accountable immediately. This is craziness.
They have a joint bank account because it was a really weird two-for-one deal.
But as I mentioned before, if you do electronic banking,
right.
even though you cash, you don't lose the check. You take a picture of it and do it online, and then you have that
right.
check
right.
for evidence, which
right.
is why I hang on to everything.
Here's a ridiculous text, Wendy. I'll warn you, this one's ridiculous. Kim Fox's last name is obviously Fox. His show is on Fox. Is that part of the deal? That's a silly text, and I'm sorry I texted that in.
right up your alley.
I don't know what I was thinking when I sent that, but I've rethought it. I've recused myself from that text.
The $3,500 breakdown, by the way, $600 a week for the workout plan for 5 weeks, and then $100 a week for the nutrition plan for 5 weeks. So it's not that expensive. Oh, $600 a week,
that's
I guess.
That's a lot of money
that's
for
a
trainer.
Well, he's in great shape.
And what's their background that they have a nutrition program that you're right. paying $100 a week
right.
for?
Although he's in good shape. So what are we... we can criticize him all day long. He's in pretty good shape, so it's working. Everything you're doing, Jussie, keep it up.
Here's a menu for the day. Chicken thigh, Starkist tuna, eggs, and Smucker's peanut butter. Mm-hmm. This was between texts. This is the meal plan and the breakdown of macronutrients. Also includes projected fat loss.
Oh.
Wow.
All right.
Does it have to be Starkist tuna?
No. No. That's optional.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So many unanswered questions.
Yeah. And poor Wendy Williams.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. She was...
roaming around drunk on a street.
Yeah, and her husband's mistress had a baby.
Yes. How was your week? Having a better week? It's This Week in Wendy's. How was your week, Wendy? Everything better than hers, I hope?
Today is my gotcha day. A year ago today, I adopted Kona from Starfish Animal Rescue.
Congratulations.
And boy, has he been a pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love him.
Would you do it over again?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Yes, I would.
All right. We'll take a break.
Your big game's coming up.
The big, huge, gigantic, colossal game, Wendy, and we have a pretty good prize, as it turns out.
Shall I say what the prize is?
Share it with
all right, because I may steal this. A pair of tickets to Little Shop of Horrors, one of my favorite musicals, now playing at Mercury Theater Chicago through April 28th. Don't feed the plants. The story follows a floral assistant that stumbles across a new breed of carnivorous plant that promises to grant him fame, fortune, and all his desires as long as the blood keeps flowing. Tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com, or you can call 773-325-1700.
Don't call yet, but we will need some contestants for the game. We'll give you the news, and then we will play. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Steve. Okay, everybody, now's your chance to call.
I take this one?
Yes, go ahead.
David Bowie Kuhn.
David Bowie Kuhn would be the right answer.
Bowie?
Yeah, he was the commissioner of baseball. David Bowie, technically, but to make it fit, Steve is right.
Smells the same.
David Bowie Kuhn.
How about Larry David Bowie?
Oh, that would also work. Very good. Yo, you guys would make for great contestants on the big, huge, giant super celebrity game.
My favorite game in the whole wide world.
I'm so excited. You guys always play these games when I'm gone. Yeah. In my hour.
Not this time, Steve. You can play along.
But don't shout out the answers.
I know. Right. It's tempting. Give us a call right now at 312-981-7200. We'll take as many contestants as we can possibly fit in for the big, huge, giant super celebrity game. I will explain the rules. They are very, very simple. I'm going to give a two-part celebrity clue. The first part of the clue pertains to one of the celebrities. The second part pertains to the second celebrity. They can be in either order. It gets very confusing, but they can be in either order. I'll give you a quick example. Here's one that we used last time, Wendy. See if you remember the answer to this. Not only did I invent the incandescent light bulb, the phonograph, and the movie camera, I also played that girl.
Marlo Thomas Edison.
Marlo Thomas Edison. You would have a point. Here's how the scoring system works. The first time we ask a question, it is worth 1 point. If you get it right, you get to keep playing. If you get it wrong, we go to a new contestant, and that same question is now worth 2 points. Every time somebody misses, the point value goes up 1 point, up to five, up to a maximum of five. Whoever has the most points at the end of regulation time, they're the winner, and they win a pair of tickets to see Little Shop of Horrors playing at the Mercury Theater through April the 28th.
So do we just go through the callers?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Dave was the first caller, 312-981-7200. A few lines still open if you'd like to get in. So here is Dave, Bill.
Dave, welcome on board. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How about you?
Very good, Dave. You are the first contestant on this episode of the Big, Huge, Giant Super Celebrity Game. Again, let me reiterate the rules. I'm going to give a two-part clue. One part pertains to half of the celebrity name, then the other half, but they all tie together. Are you ready?
Sure.
Here goes. Question number one, worth 1 point. Not only did I leave my hit sitcom Cheers a little early, I'm also a pirate with my own fast food seafood empire. Who would that be, Dave?
Shelley Long John Silver.
Absolutely right.
Oh, that was awesome.
Absolutely right, Dave.
Very good.
You have 1 point.
So does Dave stay on?
Dave stays on. Another question, still here. Worth 1 point. Here goes, Dave. Not only have I played the nimble heroine Katniss Everdeen in 4 Hunger Games movies, I'm also a North Dakota-born band leader, famous for phrases like, and a one, and a two, and thank you, boys.
That would be Jennifer Lawrence Welk.
Absolutely right, Dave.
I love you, Dave. You're my idol.
Well played, Dave.
Well, these are easy so far.
So far, they're easy. I'm mixing them up a little bit. All right. You're our leader, of course. You're our only contestant so far, but you lead 2-0. Here is question 3, also worth 1 point. Not only did I serve as host for 1,400 episodes of The Hollywood Squares, but you may know me better by my rapper name, Eminem. I need an answer, Dave.
Gary Marshall Mathers. I know it's not Gary, but
it is so not close. Correct. I'm sorry. Dave, you're our leader, though, with 2 points.
So he hangs on, correct?
Well, you can keep him or lose him. We'll see if he's the leader or not by the end.
Well, how will we get in touch with him? Jazz, do you have
his
number?
She's got his number, yeah.
All right.
So now, Dave is our leader, 2-0. We go to a second contestant, and the question is now worth 2 points.
Paxton,
how are you?
Hey, hi. How are you? I'm feeling strong.
Let's see how you do, Paxton. It's the same question, but it's now worth 2 points because Dave didn't get it. Here goes. Not only did I serve as host for 1,400 episodes of The Hollywood Squares, but you may know me better by my rapper name, Eminem. Paxton, who are we talking about?
I'm thinking Nick DiGilio would say the Whoopster. Whoopi Goldberg?
It is not Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh,
no.
Doggone it.
Thank you, Paxton.
Thank you for what?
Feeling strong.
He was feeling strong, but it didn't show in the end. A good lesson
Whoopi
for you.
Whoopi Goldberg?
I'm not sure. That's all right.
All right. Mary Ellen is here.
Mary Ellen, the question is now worth 3 points. If you get this right, you will be our leader so far. Not only did I serve as host for 1,400 episodes of The Hollywood Squares, but you may know me better by my rapper name, Eminem. Who would that be?
So I wouldn't have known Gary Marshall, so thanks to the first. And is it Mathers? Gary Marshall Mathers.
No, that was the guess from Dave.
That was the guess, and that was wrong.
Nope, sorry.
Sorry,
Mary
Ellen.
Thanks for playing, Mary Ellen.
Wow.
Tough.
Do you do clues?
I can't. I cannot legally do clues.
Okay.
Hi,
I wish
Beth.
I could.
Hi.
Beth, the question is now worth 4 points. It's the same question. Nobody's gotten it yet. It's worth 4 points right now. Not only did I serve as host for the Hollywood Squares 1,400 episodes, but you may know me better by my rapper name, Eminem. Who am I talking about?
Peter Marshall.
Absolutely right.
There we go. The Peter.
That's how it's done. It was not Gary Marshall. He was the producer of Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. It was Peter Marshall. Beth, you are our current leader with 4 points. Are you ready for a new question?
Yeah.
All right. Here goes for 1 point. Not only did I live at 1313 Mockingbird Lane with my wife Lily and some Eddie, I'm also trying to use the phone. Who is that celebrity?
Lily Pee Wee Herman?
It is not Lily Pee Wee Herman. Beth, you're our leader,
Lily
though.
Lily Herman.
I have to take your first answer. You are our current leader with 4 points.
All right, so that's Beth. She's in the lead.
Right.
Now we go to a different Dave. Dave is here. This is Dave S. Hi, Dave S.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Dave, the question is now worth 2 points. Same question as before, but now doubled in value. Not only did I live at 1313 Mockingbird Lane with my wife Lily and son Eddie, I'm also trying to use the phone. Who would that be?
Is that Eddie Herman?
It is not Eddie Herman. No. Thank you, though.
No, thank you.
You're very very frustrated with the incorrect answers. Very frustrated.
All right. We have Marie on the line, who's a new contestant. Hi, Marie.
Marie, good luck. This question is now worth 3 points. You would be trailing by only 1 point if you get this right. Not only do I live at 1313 Mockingbird Lane with my wife, Lily, and my son, Eddie, I'm also trying to use the phone. Who would that be?
Herman Pee-wee. Pee-wee Herman Munster.
You got it
yes!
right. You got it. Very, very nice. Thank whoever's behind you for prompting. I heard some help in the background.
Yeah, that was Holly.
That was my guess. All right, Marie, you now have 3 points. You trailed by just 1 point. Here is the new question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Not only am I a pixie-haired actress best known for playing Peter Pan on Broadway, I'm also a 3-time Stanley Cup-winning defenseman for the Chicago Blackhawks. Who would that
be? Sandy Duncan Keith.
Absolutely right, Marie. Sandy Duncan Keith. You are now tied with Beth. You each have 4 points. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back for round two of the Super Celebrity game. So stick around for that. All right, it is time to play round two of the big, huge, giant super celebrity game. So far, we have a tie going between Beth, who has 4 points. Marie also has 4 points, but she's still an active participant. She can take the lead with one more correct answer. Marie, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here is the next question. It is worth 1 point. If you get this right, you are our leader with 5 points. Here goes. Not only was I the first American astronaut to orbit the Earth, I also told Michael Douglas I will not be ignored.
Oh, I don't know.
Tough one.
Neil, I don't know.
It is not
I
Neil.
I don't know.
It is not Neil.
Sorry.
Marie, you played well, and you are currently tied for the lead, so good luck.
Okay, thanks.
All right,
hang on. Now we go to Ken, who is a new caller. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing?
Ken, the question is now worth 2 points. Doing fine, by the way. Question is now worth 2 points.
John Glenn Close.
John Glenn Close is absolutely right. He didn't even need to hear the question. That's fantastic.
Wow.
Well done, Ken. You have 2 points. Here goes. The next question is now worth 1 point. Not only did I portray troubled figure skater Tanya Harding and comic book bad girl Harley Quinn, I was also a 1970s teen heartthrob in movies like Ice Castles and Ode to Billy Joe.
Margot Robbie Benson?
Yes!
Oh, you are so good!
Ken, I'm so proud of you. All right, you now have 3 points. Here goes the next question. This is worth 1 point. Not only was I the first Major League Baseball player to break the color barrier, I was also stranded on an island with a man named Friday.
Jackie Robinson Crusoe?
Yes!
Oh my God, you are my new favorite person, Ken.
Ken, you have moved into a 3-way tie with both Beth and Marie. If you get this one right, you will be our current leader. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here goes. Not only am I a sportscaster who spent 15 years as the host of the Today Show, in the 1970s, I was a homophobic spokesperson for Florida Orange Juice.
Brian Gumbel? Yes!
Oh, my God. Wow. So he's taking the lead, right?
Wow, yes. Ken, so impressive. You now have 5 points.
Jasmine, you can let Marie and Beth go because they are out of the running now.
Yes. Ken, our sole leader now with 5 points. This isn't Ken Jennings from Jeopardy, is it? No? All right, here goes.
No.
Ken, this will give you a 6th point. Here goes. Not only am I an American actor who's been living with Goldie Hawn for 35 years, I'm also a British comedian who was married to Katy Perry for 2 years.
Oh, come on, Ken.
Katy Perry, Kurt Russell Brand.
Russell Brand is
Holy
absolutely right.
Wow.
I forgot about the marriage.
You're good, Ken. All right, here goes.
I was thinking John Mayer there for a second.
All right, you have 6 points. You are currently our leader by far. This will give you a 7th point. Here goes. Not only am I America's most recognizable adult film star, nicknamed the Hedgehog, I also spent 8 seasons playing super agent Ari Gold on Entourage. This could be the one that
Ari
breaks
Gold.
It.
I know the Hedgehog is.
Don't give away.
Don't give away too much. Because then the next person will get it. So think inside your head, not outside.
I think I know it.
Go on. No,
Ron, Jeremy.
No, I gotta say, don't say anymore. Don't say anymore.
Hold on.
Ken, you're our leader, though, with 6 points. Looking very, very good for Ken. He's got 6 points.
All right.
The question now is worth 2 points, which will certainly help if somebody's going to challenge him.
Casey,
same question.
Hi.
Listen in. Same question. Not only am I America's most recognizable adult film star, nicknamed the Hedgehog, I also spent 8 seasons playing super agent Ari Gold on Entourage. For 2 points, Casey, who is the correct celebrity?
I don't know.
Oh, all right.
I wish I did. I don't know.
That's okay. Thanks anyway.
Thank you, Casey. I believe we have not spoken to Holly yet. Hi, Holly.
Hi.
Holly, this is now worth 3 points. I'm proud of you if you get this, and more proud of you if you don't. Here goes, Holly. Not only am I America's most recognizable adult film star, nicknamed the Hedgehog, I also spent 8 seasons playing super agent Ari Gold on Entourage. Who would that be, Holly?
Ron Jeremy Piven.
Absolutely right. Woo! Nicely done. Holly, you're halfway to the lead. Ken has 6 points. You have 3. Let's see how you do. Are you ready? This is worth 1 point. Here goes.
Okay.
Not only did my voice, my mustache, and I all get nominated for Best Supporting Oscar this year, I also played Ross and Rachel's dad on Friends. Holly, you want to take a shot? I'll do the voice a little bit, see if this helps. Not only did my voice, my mustache, and I all get nominated for a Best Supporting Actor this year, I also played Ross and Rachel's dad on Friends.
Okay, I know this.
Go on, quick. Now I got to stop it time-wise.
All right. Thank you.
All right, we go to a second contestant. It is now worth 2 points. Holly, by the way, out of the running despite 3 points. Ken's still the leader with 6. But this question is now worth 2 points.
Still some openings at 312-981-7200. This is John.
John, here goes. Same question. It's now worth 2 points. Not only did my voice, my mustache, and I all get nominated for a Best Supporting Oscar this year, I also played Ross and Rachel's dad on Friends. Who would that be?
Is it the same guy who plays Mr. Burgundy?
I can't give any additional clues.
Will Ferrell.
It is not Will Ferrell.
What?
Nope.
Oh, that was my guess.
Nope. Okay. Thanks, though.
I think he had his guess ready and was just going to say
the clue.
It. Yeah.
Despite the clue. Sometimes that happens. Sure.
All right. 312-981-7200. People thought that this would be over, but
we have one more challenge. So far, our leader by far is Ken with 6. But if you get this one right, it's now worth 3 points. You'd be halfway there.
All right. We have a caller who already played, so he can't call back.
No.
We are waiting on a caller.
One more caller. This is the final chance to beat Ken and walk away with the tickets to a great Broadway show.
Of course, you know the Peter Marshall Cubs trivia, right?
Yes. Yes. Of who his son is?
His son is
Pete Lecoq.
Pete Lecoq.
Former first baseman for the Cubs and the Royals.
And Harry
I'm a big fan. Harry. Of Pete.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Dan's ready. Thanks for stalling, guys.
Dan, it's worth 3 points. Are you ready?
I am ready. I'm ready with the should I go ahead with the answer or wait for the question?
Do you want to hear the clue or do you know it? You can give it a shot if you think you know it or listen to the clue one more time. It's up to you.
I think I'm going to go for it.
Go ahead.
Why not? Tom Selleck.
It is not Tom Selleck. No.
Thank you.
Thanks, though. Wendy, I hate to say this. We are out of time. Do you want to tell everybody who that is? I'll give you the clue one more time. Not only did my voice, my mustache, and I get nominated for a Best Supporting Oscar this year, I also played Ross and Rachel's dad on Friends. Who would that be?
Sam Elliott Gould.
Absolutely right,
Wendy.
Very
nice.
Absolutely right. This means, after all is said and done, Ken, who was amazing with 6 points, is our winner and wins 2 free tickets to see Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, he does, but there's a dispute. Julia has come in here.
What's wrong?
Whose dad is it?
Whose dad is who?
Elliot Gould.
Ross and Rachel. Ross and...
Monica.
Monica's dad.
Still,
it still
counts.
Oh,
it still counts. So Ken is the winner.
Yes.
All right.
I've been exonerated, Wendy.
Yes, everyone's exonerated.
Everyone's being exonerated lately.
See, this is a great life, Ken, because anyone can make a mistake now and just say, "Hey, I'm exonerated." But you, my friend, are going to see Little Shop of Horrors now playing at the Mercury Theater.
All right.
Congratulations,
great job.
Ken. You were amazing.
Well, I just got lucky there.
You did great. And thanks for helping me write the questions last night. That really helped me.
All right, hang on. We'll get all your deets. A pair of tickets to see Little Shop of Horrors. It's playing at the Mercury Theater through April 28th. If you did not win tickets, you can get them at the Mercury Theater, mercurytheaterchicago.com, or call 773-325-1700. Great job.
That was fun.
I love this game.
That was fun. All right, a break, some news, more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. He's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
St. Neil pointed out something interesting to me, Wendy, is that while we were doing our game...
Loved it.
I was your more traditional game show host, being cordial and polite to all the contestants. You, however, had no tolerance for wrong answers, and that I think it made for a better teamwork thing, don't you?
That's why we're the yin and the yang of radio.
I think it makes the contestants aspire, or at least fear, you know, being unprepared, not doing well, because it was like, oh, well, that was a great job. And Wendy's like, no, it wasn't. Right. Like, well, thanks for playing. Why?
I know. I'm sorry. And for the people who don't know, I mean, and they say, I don't know, I respect their honesty, and I also respect somebody giving a guess, but when the here, you got to listen, but everyone's exonerated.
Right. I went to the Wink Martindale School of Game Show Hosting, Wendy, the Simon Cowell class, and that's fine.
Who's more popular?
Simon Cowell,
who's alive?
By far. Simon. They're both alive.
Oh, oops.
Who's alive?
Oh, my gosh.
And I said it off the air, too. It was, I think, a great homage, you guys, using the pencil-thin, three-foot-long microphone with the ping-pong ball top on
it. We got that
for
at the Gene Rayburn garage sale a few weeks ago. We're very proud owners of that. Dane Neal's here, everybody. He's the host of On the Road with Dane Neal. You could hear that Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. right here, actually, on this radio station.
Yeah.
How about that? Coincidentally,
so many people are going to be on the road for Bacon Fest. This is one of the... We have so many great events here in Chicago. This is one of the events that really stacks up against events around the country. I think everybody else looks at this with a lot of envy, not only because it highlights one of America's great... It's like the additional food group. Bacon is the food group you wish was there.
Right.
In a singular... food group world. And it is one of those great events that everybody absolutely loves and participates. It's not your traditional kind of go in there and there's a handful of people, you know, that you kind of take samples from. It is immense, and it has the scope of everything from ma and pa people, diners, independent people, products, and all the beverage and spirits you want, plus super fine dining people too. So the whole thing. We've got Seth Zero, the man who created, he'll say he was part of a, you know, a team, right? Because he's a humble guy, and he is, but he is the face, the omnipotent ruler, the benefactor. of the Bacon World, Seth Zur.
Welcome back, Seth.
How do you do? I'm happy to grace you with my presence.
Mr. Bacon, that's what we call you.
When he walked in, he was the high-five Bacon King. You know, I mean, you've kind of gotten to that level.
They would not let you put Macon Bacon on your license plate, but I think it's because it was too many characters.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's the reason.
It's bureaucrats,
story,
you know?
Crazy
it's like,
story.
Don't fit putting a square peg in a round hole.
Take us back in time. When did bacon become such a huge... I mean, it was always...
It's always been good. Come on.
Everybody loves bacon. Everybody always loved bacon. Yeah. About 11 years ago was when we started our little Bacon Fest, which started off as a small chef tasting event. We had 10 restaurants all gathered together in the dining room of the Publican for a few hours on a Saturday afternoon. Each shared a bacon dish. And this year, we're going to have nearly 150 different restaurants.
Wow.
Each with a different bacon dish using nearly 4 tons of Nooski's bacon. The event,
4 tons.
Almost 4 tons. And this is on April 5th.
They bring it in like I think it's a dump truck, right? And they just like...
That's one way. We actually, today is the day, all around the city, 50-pound boxes of bacon are arriving at restaurants everywhere around Chicago right now.
Wow.
It's like bacon, Nooski's Bacon Christmas.
Wow.
If ever I was to perform a heist,
this would be the day.
Oh God,
now I've put the restaurants at risk.
Right. It just became dangerous.
Yeah.
I recently had a bacon lardon. I didn't know what a bacon lardon was.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Awesome.
A little thick little baton of bacon that you stick on your niçoise, on your salads. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just chewy and crunchy and tasty and sweet all in one.
I had some bacon lardons just yesterday. I was at Baptiste and Bottle. They make a bacon mac and cheese, which they're serving at the fest, which is topped with like 1/4-inch thick lardons of bacon. And they stick cheese curds in from Wisconsin as well to make it extra gooey.
What?
It's good. It's real good.
That does sound nice. All right, so the traditional bacon, of course, the bacon strips, but now it's been taken to a new level.
Correct.
I mean, everybody's being so creative with the way they cut it and present it.
Yeah, and incorporate it into places you wouldn't expect. So, like, for example, today I walked over to Travel, which is the restaurant on the second floor of the Langham Hotel, just across the river from here.
Mm-hmm.
And the chef there, Jeff Vuko, gave me a box full of these, what he calls bacon maple eclairs. So imagine an eclair, like a pastry, a tube.
Mm-hmm.
He's made bacon peanut brittle and crumbled it on top. He's got little chunks of bacon on top. He's put a maple glaze in there. And then on the inside, he's put a cream cheese, honey mustard, bacon fat filling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an eclair.
Can I just tell you, Wendy's
not sold on the sound.
It sounds like that's not going to be a good combination, but when you taste it, it all comes together like a symphony in your mouth.
Thank you for saying that. It's true. It does. Man. It is a mouthful to get your head around.
Right.
But then... In practice, it is extremely delicious. Having just eaten one while gazing at the Chicago River,
yes.
I can personally attest that it is a creative and delicious use of bacon.
So you think of the humble beginnings. I think I saw a documentary last week where bacon was actually chiseled into the hieroglyphics in a Mayan temple, right? So we go back all the way to the beginning on the bacon side. But yeah, and as far as like the diversities of restaurants, could you think of it as Bacon Fest? And from the outside, you would think... It is just a lot of bacon, and it is. But sometimes the bacon part of it is very, very subtle, unlike even the eclairs, where it's just almost there.
Yeah, it's almost like it's laying down a porky foundation upon which the chefs erect an edifice of deliciousness.
Wow.
Thank you. That's University of Chicago English Literature.
That was impressive, Seth. I'm going to ask you a one-word question. I don't want to offend you. I just want to ask the one. It's a one-word question. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Bacos?
Ooh, yes or no? Is that like real tree or fake tree that Christmas conversation?
Not bacon.
Not bacon. Well, obviously not bacon.
They don't
bacon.
Even taste like bacon.
Not native
they just
bacon. Don't taste like bacon. An offense
to the bacon community.
Bacon crumbles.
The bacon purists.
Yes. I'm here to come out strongly against Baco bits.
Baco's
real chopped up bacon on a salad? Delicious.
That works.
Fantastic. Bacos?
Thumbs down.
No to Bacos. All right.
Bacos taste like a conglomeration of Lowry's seasoned salt and something else. Like, it's just salt.
Thick cornflakes with like...
It's just not...
Yeah, that's not what we're about at Bacon Fest.
Didn't mean to offend you.
I'm
curious.
Open to all questions, and I welcome questions
I know Seth
about
well,
vegetables
offended,
as well.
Right?
He's offended. Yeah. I would be too. If somebody
we'll see if I ever come
like
back
and ask a question like that.
The magical part of bacon that I think exploded was the mixing sweet with it. I mean, we always grew up, you know, you'd go to the Boy Scout pancake breakfast and you'd ask for extra bacon. But when like the maple and the brown sugar got on it, that's when I think it exploded. Would you agree?
I definitely agree. And I think specifically that idea of maple and bacon then got applied to a lot of different places. So it's on this eclair. It's on like every bacon donut that's ever been made. It's a fun. It's actually a traditional way of serving bacon. There's a dish called Millionaire's Bacon, which is thick slices of bacon glazed in maple syrup with red chili peppers on it.
Mm.
We'll have a few different takes on that.
Bacon chili peppers.
Just a little heat, a little something, something. You don't like that?
Yeah, I would try it.
There is a restaurant in Evanston that serves bacon tacos, and at first, even though I like bacon and I like tacos, I wasn't positive that was a good match. It's a good match.
So wait, was the taco shell made of bacon?
No. That was a traditional flour taco shell, but your main meat source inside was bacon and plenty of it, and
can't
it was
go wrong
really
with that.
Good.
Can I ask you a question? Because a lot of times I've seen pork belly tacos on the menu. Mm-hmm. Is that necessarily bacon, or is it sometimes just pork?
That is an excellent question.
Thank you.
To the point, it is not necessarily bacon. Pork belly is the raw material of bacon. It's the meat with the fat and the layers of striated meat. And then it becomes bacon by the process of being cured and smoked.
You should teach a class at the University of Chicago.
I am available.
You look at the diversity on what it is and kind of that entrance into whether it isn't just a breakfast food, anymore, the dessert, you like the chocolate, you got the mousse, you got things like that. And to be able to kind of explain that and be sort of the voice for that, you mentioned University of Chicago. Is this a good use of that education? Because you think... Now, granted, you could say there's a higher purpose, a Greater Food Depository, Chicago Greater Food. I mean, you do a lot of great work and donate some stuff. But at what point did the parents say, like, okay, well, this is what you're going to do. Let's get behind it. Or were they kind of dreamers right along with you in the bacon world?
They've always been extremely supportive. All of the three Bacon Fest founders' parents have been extremely supportive of our bacon
succeeded.
Efforts, despite the fact that I grew up in a Jewish family, was bar mitzvahed at 13.
Oh, my God.
Even my grandmother, rest in peace, wrote me an email because she wasn't strong on iPads. She wrote me an email, was like, a period after every word, but it said,
"You'll come around."
A nice Jewish boy like you, Seth, would come up with a thing like bacon.
Oh my God!
A lot of support.
Now there's bacon vodka. There's bacon everything. What's the weirdest place you've found bacon? Is there bacon cereal yet?
Oh, would that be
$1 million idea?
Like, you and I need to hook up and just talk bacon.
I know, I like this. There's a lot of places. This year we have a cocktail that a Scotch company called Aberlour is making, and they're using bacon, candied bacon as a garnish Scotch cocktail, which will be pretty good.
So that flavor would spill into the rest of the drink, hopefully, if done properly?
Yeah, it would almost be like a little bacony counterpoint to a smoky Scotch. You know what I'm talking about?
Seth, tell people again how to get involved with Bacon Fest, where they need to go.
Yeah, they should go to baconfestchicago.com. Mm-hmm. The event is on April 5th and 6th. It's just 10 short days away.
Mm-hmm.
The UIC Forum, they have to buy tickets in advance. You can't just show up. So you go to the website, you buy your tickets, you walk in the room, you eat a lot of bacon, you drink a lot of drinks.
Yes.
You see Dane Neal carefully taking notes while he judges each chef's
contribution. While he fends off his children.
Yep.
Do you have
as they
bacon
tackle
leggings?
Mascots and dance with them. What's that?
Do you have bacon leggings you will be wearing?
I don't.
Bacon hosen.
Sometimes you'll see people with like full bacon, like bacon suits and things like that. Well, we can get into a little bit of the thought process on the judging side too, because that's one of the things that has a longtime judge for it that I think people wonder, like, how does one thing win? They're all delicious, I think, in their own and unique ways, but there's a thought process to it on the judging side.
There'd have to be. All right, a little bit of a break and then more discussion. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bacon is good. That's all I'm going to say.
Bacon is good.
We are talking Bacon Fest, and Dane Neal is here. And Seth, tickets are... still available, correct?
There are some tickets available for Bacon Fest. So if you go, we're only 10 days away. Saturday lunch is almost sold out. So if that's the only one that works for
you. It's crunch time. Get it? Because of bacon?
I get it. That's solid.
I wrote that for you.
Why do people like bacon extra crispy? I like it not extra crispy, but a lot of times you will hear people order, can I get mine extra crispy or well done? You can enjoy it in different facets, can't you?
I certainly do. Like, I like all kinds of bacon, and all from the crispy to the
chewy kind of
more chewy end of the spectrum. But I think people just like pizza and anything. People like the bacon that they had when they were a kid.
Yeah.
So if your mom or your dad always burned the bacon in the cast iron pan, and that's the bacon you want. And if your mom or your dad always just put it a little underdone and let you gnaw on the bacon fat, that's the bacon you're
wrong with.
You're
that?
In for.
That's perfect.
More than any other food, bacon reflects your family.
On the judge. Side, it's tough, right? Because you think bacon in any form is good, regardless of how it's done, whether it's elevated, a dessert, or an entree, or one of those things. And so on the judging side, it's tough because now this, you know, what Seth has done with Bacon Fest and also having awards for it, and now there's a People's Choice where you, right on site, you can go ahead and vote and see the tally board and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The Golden Rasher Award, and it is a thing that people, you know, restaurants will put into their bios and their resumes. They'll have on display. It's a big deal to go ahead and win this thing.
That's right. I was at Exo Marshmallow. You ever heard of these guys? In Rogers Park, they have a little marshmallow cafe, and they have their little bacon golden rasher, Bacon Fest golden rasher, right on their sort of shelf next to their mac and cheese prize and all the other plaques and awards
they should
won.
Be proud. Exactly. A texter wants to know, Seth, will beef bacon or turkey bacon be part of this fest?
Thank you for asking this important question.
Yes. What's beef bacon?
Beef bacon, it's a kind of kosher bacon where they make it out of beef belly instead of pork belly.
You can tell the difference in the taste. Though,
it tastes different. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say that I have not seen any beef bacon on any of the menus for this year. Mm-hmm. And turkey bacon is, we're actually actively hostile towards turkey bacon.
Is turkey bacon like the Bacos of the actual real world?
Oh. Yeah, exactly. That's like, it is Baco, but in full strip form.
Oh.
It's, you know, like if you're going to eat bacon, it's like, just go for it. Live a little. That's
that
all
makes
I'm saying.
Sense. That makes sense.
On the judging side, and this is where a lot of them really step out, is it's creativity. So people look for, you know, kind of creativity in the dish. So instead of just having, because some places, Seth, and be honest, they'll just have like a piece of bacon. Pretty much it's like a big, really good piece of bacon, you know, with maybe some little side accoutrements, but that's basically it.
Yeah.
And some really go all out, you know, where there's a lot of creativity. And I think those are the ones that win.
Yeah, and that's sort of how we steer the judges to think really about what dish is really stretching your understanding of what is good with bacon.
It makes sense.
It's not to say that there's anything wrong with a big hunk of bacon. Like, we have one dish this year coming from Oak Park, this butcher shop in Oak Park called Carnivore.
Yeah.
Their dish is called the Bacon Mountain. And it's basically, it sounds like they're going to just pile up
climb that, baby.
A heap of bacon on their table and then give out little mugs of beer cheese to dip it into.
Delicious.
Can't go wrong.
Cardiologist standing by.
Up your Lipitor.
Your connection to End Hunger, explain that.
Okay, so since we started, we've always supported the Greater Chicago Food Depository. We make a donation out of the proceeds of the event. We do a raffle on site. Sponsors donate prizes so people can buy raffle tickets and win prizes. And we do a food drive at the event. So in terms of money, we've given more than $440,000 to the food banks.
Nice.
Amazing.
Which adds up to 1.3 million meals for
hungry
Chicagoans.
Oh, that's very nice.
So it's not just a great big pig out.
Right.
Although it is that. Yeah. It also helps feed hungry people in Chicago.
Good. Doing good work there. Dane, I know we wanted to talk about the Beard Awards. We've only got a minute or so. What can you tell us?
Well, one of the things, so they're announcing those today, and I'll talk with the Beard Award and Chicago resident, Belinda Changelby. We'll talk with her a little bit later. She'll kind of break down what it all means. But in a little bit, you know, as far as nationally best baker, Greg Wade over there at Publican, that's, of course, the origination, right, of the very first Bacon Fest. And then in the categories where it's best chef, it's all Chicago restaurants, even though it's Midwest and incorporates, I think, Michigan and Indiana and Illinois. It's all Chicago chefs. And so again, you know, whether it's the country or whether it's the Midwest, Chicago chefs are definitely getting the recognition they deserve of the Beards. And we'll talk with Belinda Chang about that.
Dane, thanks for being here. On the Road with Dane Neal can be heard on this station on WGN Saturday at 2 p.m. And if you're interested in Bacon Fest, don't forget it starts soon, April the 5th. You want to go to baconfestchicago.com. All the information is there. Seth, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. See you at Bacon Fest.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, a little bit of a break, some news, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy. All my friends are Edens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Eric, thanks very much. It's Bill Leffen, it's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. Let's talk religion. Millie J joins us right now. Millie is the author of a book called Taking Steps to Draw Closer to God. She is a prayer counselor. Welcome aboard, Millie. How are you?
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great to talk to you.
Are we sure we want to talk religion? Because if you talk politics or religion, there's always going to be some kind of disagreement.
That's true.
Absolutely.
You have to know when you write a book about religion, you're going to get your detractors immediately. And I'm not saying that Wendy and I will fit under that category, but you know, as you're writing the book, there's going to be skeptics, correct?
Correct. And it's okay. Our focus is on drawing closer to God, so it's okay.
All right, let's talk about this. Very startling, but Pew Research, and if you're going to talk about churches, that's your research firm, Pew Research. They did a study, and they found that 6 out of 10 people are now considering themselves religiously unaffiliated. They don't check any box when it comes to organized religion. Explain that, because that's
6 out of 10?
6 out of 10, that's a very high number, isn't it, Millie?
It is, and, you know, it's okay because all of us are focusing on our relationship with God. Just because you sit in a church doesn't make you religious. So if I don't identify with a certain religion, but I still identify with having a relationship with God, God is okay with that. religion, we have to remember, is man-made, and it's an organization. And there's a difference between having a religion and having a relationship with God.
I am a Catholic. I was born and bred a Catholic. I pretty much forced my kids into receiving all their sacraments, ended at confirmation. I do not go to church as much as I should, so I'm a bad Catholic, but I still say my prayers pretty much every day at some point. So can you be of a denomination but not participate in the church end of things? Or am I just a bad Catholic and God is mad at me?
You are fine. God is not mad at you. What I would encourage is to have a relationship with God, because a lot of people sit in church and they're completely disconnected with what's going on. So you're not growing spiritually. But if you don't, or some people can't physically go to church because of a disability or whatever issue. So God is not saying, I need you to physically be in church to have a relationship with me. Once we understand that we can have a relationship with God anywhere and I don't have to wait till I get the church to have that relationship, then you won't get upset and think that you're a bad Catholic because you didn't go to church. You understand that I have a relationship with God no matter where I am, no matter where I sit, no matter what church I'm affiliated with. What's important is how my relationship and my spiritual growth is going.
So being religious and being spiritual, they can go together, but they are two separate things.
They are two separate things. Religion is a system, is an organization that we take part of as our belief system. However, a spiritual life is a connection with God. It's a soul connection. It's a mind and body connection. As I stated before, you can physically be at church, and many people, church has become a routine, and they are completely disconnected, spiritually disconnected to the church. They're just physically sitting there. It's a routine for them.
But there is a commandment which states, thou shalt keep holy the Lord's day, meaning you need to go and worship one
day,
a week, right? So so how does that fit
in? I can worship at my house.
Can she? Is that
you
legal,
can.
Millie? Yeah.
Yes.
Bill's just trying to point fingers at me because I'm a bad Catholic. I am.
No, you're fine. You're not a bad Catholic. God is not looking down on us and saying, oh, my God. He doesn't have a checklist saying, oh, today she did not come to church. Let me go ahead and mark that down. What about the people who have disabilities and they're not physically able? Are God supposed to, you know, have a mark on their record?
No, but they have an excuse, Millie. Come on. I have no excuse.
Right. Look, God is not marking us down for things like that. He's actually looking into our hearts. He's looking into our spirit. He's not looking to the physical things, the things that we look into. We count how many times we go to church. We count how many times we pray. And God is not looking into that, because you can pray 100 times and you completely are disconnected to God. You're completely praying your own prayer, and it has nothing to do with God. So God wants us to submit our hearts, our soul, and body to Him. And until we learn as believers to have a spiritual connection, and then everything else will follow. Going to church won't be an issue, whether you go today or tomorrow or you don't go next week. God is not marking us down for that.
There were always families at our church, Millie, that we referred to as C&E Catholics, which meant they showed up on Christmas and Easter, and that was pretty much it. You've seen people like this, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's always going on, and it's been going on for years, and that's why we know that people are disconnected to the church, and some people easily leave the church because they had no connection in the first place.
Right.
So if you're relying on your connection to the church to be a connection with God, that is two separate things, and we as believers, we need to understand that so we can spiritually grow.
What about these people that say, and I think they're saying it half as a joke but half not, I'm a recovering Catholic, I'm a recovering Protestant. How does that sit with you?
You know, it's all about what they see. When you think of yourself and you start putting labels on your own self and your relationship with God, then whatever that you're thinking is going to produce in your life. So if you want to think that you're a recovering Catholic, that's what you will be. But all if right. you want to know... think that you are a person who have a relationship with God no matter what, then that's what will produce in your life.
Part of it is holding on to tradition. Obviously, I hate what's in the news about the Catholic Church and the priests right now. Other religions have their issues, too. But I'm Catholic. That's what I was born and raised. That's what I'm going to be. And I did push my kids into getting confirmed. However, I told them later in life, if you want to change your path, you can. I don't look down on other people in other religions just so they have some greater power, because I think that helps us be a better person, where you're trying to guide your moral compass. And if, you know, you have that greater power up there, it leads you on a better path. That's my opinion.
And which is fine, because at the end of the day, we only have God to answer to. If your children followed everything that you do, do they have a separate relationship with God, or do they have a relationship based on what you made them do? I actually have a Q&A in my book, Taking Steps to Draw Closer to God, where I mention that children, I encourage that you teach them to draw closer to God, but at the end of the day, they have to still establish that relationship.
And, you know, I lost my dad when I was 10. I lost my mom a month after my wedding 22 years ago. And, you know, maybe I put my religion on hold for a while. But once you lose someone that's of great importance to you, a lot of times that's when we turn to our religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people, they grew up in the church, so it's easy for them to go ahead and establish that relationship. And some people, it takes them having to be down on their knees because of certain situations to happen for them to seek God. No matter what brings you to God, the important thing is that you get there and that you start establishing a relationship. Having a relationship with God is more than just that, just the relationship. It actually does make us better people. It makes us think better. Like, we try not to judge others because we want to look at other people as God look at them, like human beings. And it also makes you more peaceful. I know for me, there's so much things happening in the world. If I pay attention to what's going on in the world, I will have absolutely no peace. You'll be worried, you'll live in fear. But, you know, when you have a relationship with God, you can go to your prayer room and pray and find that peace. You can meditate on the word and find the peace of God with you, because he tells us he has the peace that surpasses understanding.
Millie, when something horrible happens, when a plane crash happens, when a mass shooting happens, how do you relegate that and say to yourself, why would a God let something like that take place? How do you figure that out in your head?
Great question. I have that question as a part of my Q&A in my book, Taking Steps to Draw Closer to God. And my answer is that we do not know the answer to that question. We might have to just wait till we get to heaven and ask God himself, because bad things will happen to good people. Bad things will happen to innocent people. But God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And only he knows why he allows certain things to happen. And it's hard to answer a question that he knows and he has complete control over. But I do encourage people to just still trust him. Still believe that God loves you no matter what is going on. We can't control everything that happens in the world, and it's unfortunate that we do lose good people. We lose even children who are newborns, and it's extremely sad. But if we can just focus and know that God is in complete control, and there are certain things we as human beings, we have absolutely no control, because he has absolutely all of the control, then I can be okay with myself, and I can encourage someone to say, look, it's okay, let God handle it. We might just have to wait till we get up to those heaven gates and say, God, what happened here?
The website is themilliej.com. The book, Taking Steps to Draw Closer to God. You're also a prayer counselor. I have a question, and forgive me for not knowing this, listeners. I don't quite know the difference between an atheist and an agnostic. However, I find myself sometimes bristling when somebody says, oh, I'm an atheist. I don't know why that bothers me so much. I just worry they're not going to be saved. What's the difference between the two?
The difference is that they think they don't have a relationship with God, and they think that they're on their own. some people believe that somehow they wake up on their own and they do everything on their own, and they don't understand the power of God. The power of God is to wake you up every morning, because we have, when we go to bed, we have no idea what's going to happen. We have no idea if we're going to lose our breath that night. And both of them actually think the same way, that they have the power to get up and do whatever they want to do and still don't understand. They still are under God's guidance. And with an atheist, some of them, not all, but some of them believe there's a higher power. And although they don't believe my God is the higher power, they do believe there is a higher power out there, some of them. Hmm. So it depends on their view at the time of who's God and who's this higher power. I actually know a few atheists who mentions God all the time, and I'm thinking, are you an atheist? What's going on here? So it depends on the person and their beliefs. Sometimes it's not that they don't believe in God, it's just the thinking they have about your God and their God, it could be completely different, even though it might just be the same God.
There's several texts that differ from what you just said a little bit. Here's one. 60 says, an atheist believes that there is no God. An agnostic doesn't believe that they know the answer to that question. I consider myself an agnostic of the two. I'm not to offend you, Millie.
That makes me happier than an agnostic makes me happier than an atheist. And that's not fair, but I just.
Well, agnostics tend to be less outspoken about it. Atheists sometimes will be very adamant. Whereas an agnostic just goes, believe whatever you want to believe, you know?
And you're not quite right. Sure what you believe.
Yeah.
Right. So both of them, to me, they're both actually are the same, because if I'm saying believe what you want to believe, but what do you believe? And if one is saying, with the atheists, at least they say, I don't believe. And you know where they stand. But like I said, I actually know atheists who still talk about a higher being, or they talk about God. And so now I'm like, but what are you?
Interesting.
And somebody says, how about we just don't believe your fairy tales about God or whatever? But that's my decision. If you want to call them fairy tales, I like my fairy tales. They always have happy endings. So wow. Everyone has their opinion, correct?
Yeah. Correct. So we can't force anything on anyone. What I like to tell people is that, well, see, how do I live my life? When you meet me, how do you feel around me? Know that I have a relationship with God. Maybe without that relationship, I might not be such a sweet person. I might not be such, you know, a person with integrity. So I like for people to see each other and what are we and who are we in God, and judge me by that instead of assuming that I'm just this perfect person, this sweetheart, because I'm just born like that. I would like to think that, but for me, I believe God has helped me become a great woman and a great person.
Yeah. All right. Our guest is Millie J. We're going to take a little break and then more discussion. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Millie's book is called Taking Steps to Draw Closer to God. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Our guest is Millie J. She is the author of a book called Taking Steps to Draw Closer to God. Millie, a couple times during our conversation about God, you have used the pronoun he. Why are so many people sure that God is a man?
That is a great question. I think because when you read the when you read Genesis, he talks, once again, I say he talks about creating Adam, and he created Adam first, and then out of Adam's rib, he created Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So I think leaders and pastors automatically assume God is a he, so since the man was created first, so now we just grew up with saying he. And to this day, I continue to say he, and I haven't had any proof that God is a she.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do know is he did say he is a spirit. He's neither man nor female. And
all right.
That is what he stated.
So you're open to the idea that it could be a woman, or it could be something that's just sexless. It could be an amalgam of men and women. Or otherwise.
Yes, because he's a spirit, and he does not identify as either. But because Adam was, you know, created first, everybody just assumed it was a he that created Adam.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then they perfected it and went with a woman. Right? They looked at the blueprints and they went, this is ridiculous. We can fix this. And they made a woman. All right.
Right.
All right. I like that. How can it be right now that the world, even though we've progressed, we like to think we've progressed, there's still so much like Islamophobia going on. The Jews have been persecuted for years and years and years. You pick a religion, somebody's out to get them. If you truly believe in God and a better world, why would that still exist?
Well, because this is why it's important to even have a relationship with God. Because if we don't have the relationship with God and take our time to study the Bible, we will still treat each other like we're not human beings. And each individual is responsible for their relationship with God and how they treat others. There will always be evil and good in the world, unfortunately, because even when you read Revelation, it tells you that there'll be a battle between good and evil. So that will always continue, but as individuals, we have to take responsibility on how we're treating others based on what we say we are as believers.
If you had to put $20 down, who's going to win that fight, good or evil?
It's always going to be good. God is going to win. And I'll tell you why also, based on The Lord of the Rings, one of my favorite movies.
Yep.
Good always win.
Wendy, take good and the over.
I will do that.
Double your money.
Just a discussion. And, you know, bottom line is we just need to respect each other and respect each other's decisions. The book is called Taking Steps to Draw Closer to God, themilliej.com. If this is something you're into, stop by themilliej.com and pick up the book. If not, then don't worry about it. I'm not judging anyone.
Not anymore. Those days are over. Millie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, take care.
God bless you. Can I say that?
Well,
I don't know.
You did say it. Yeah.
Everybody's on everybody's ass about this. That's all I'm
saying. Use the biblical term.
I know.
That was good.
Donkey.
All right, we'll take a break. We're headed toward the stream. We hope you will join us there. But if not, you've got a great option. Stick around and listen to the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand. More on that next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.